Wow. I have not heard anything like that before. I was wondering, maybe next year we could bring in four more pianos over here. And are there 16, or no, eight, I guess, eight more piano players that we could get going for next year? Well, that was amazing. Thank you so much. And what a beautiful celebration today, honoring our veterans and our country so well. Hello, my name is Brent Deakins. I serve at the district office. I know you're in a pastoral transition, and Pastor Jerry has been here the last several weeks. Has he done an okay job for you? Okay, good. I'll tell him that. He sent me a text last night and said this: have fun with my new friends tomorrow. Tell them hi and happy 4th from Uncle Jer. So, hi. Happy 4th from Uncle Jer. Well, what a celebration today. I was praying with Kurt this morning before the service, and he said something profound that caught my attention. He said, you know, we're celebrating our independence, but what we really need to remember and celebrate is our dependence on Jesus. Amen? And so that's why we're here today. Of course, it's wonderful to honor our veterans so well. It reminds me and makes me think about my grandfather who fought in World War II. And, you know, his life and the sacrifices he made, he fought for his country like many of you are and did in the past. And we are grateful for that today. Also, when I think of my grandfather, one of the things that I appreciate even more about him is how he fought even harder for his faith and for the kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God that's eternal, that we pass down as a legacy of faith, a heritage of hope, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? He was a hero in the faith. He raised godly kids. He loved his church. He loved his neighbors. He was a generous man. He was a worship leader. And I just remember him beating his hymnal like it was a kid's bottom or something. But man, when he was going crazy, his hymnal was flying all over, and he was going like that. And so, but one thing I appreciate about my grandfather is he passed down a legacy of faith, faith in God through his kids and his grandkids and his great grandkids. And so, this morning I just want us to consider this word heritage. Don't we have an amazing heritage? A heritage of faith that is being passed down. And heritage transcends time and transcends location. Heritage is not about a place or a great state that we live in or this great country that we are or even this continent. Heritage is about this kingdom, the kingdom of God that is eternal. And so as I think about heritage of faith this morning, I think about spiritual leadership, about spiritual leadership, the heritage that we have as spiritual leaders. I remember when my wife and I got married 25 years ago, at the end of our wedding ceremony, we had this song played as we walked down the aisle as man and wife, husband and wife for the first time. The song goes like this: may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of their devotion, of our devotion, light their way. May the footsteps that we leave lead them to believe. Do you hear those words? Those are words of heritage. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Or as a follower of Jesus today, as a Christian, I wonder if you've thought much about spiritual leadership today. I just finished a book by Ruth Haley Barton called Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership, and she asked an important question in the book that I've been pondering. She asked this question: what is it that distinguishes leadership from spiritual leadership? I see many of you are leaders in this place. You're leaders in your home, in your community, in your jobs. your leaders at schools, your leaders, kids in your schools, on your sport teams. But what distinguishes leadership from spiritual leadership? And here's what she says. She says that the heart of spiritual leadership is discernment. You say that word with me, discernment. Discernment, she says, is the capacity to recognize and respond, listen to this, to the presence and activity of God, both personally in my life and within our community. See, I believe that's what heritage, legacy of faith is. It's this ability to discern the activity of God in our lives and in our community. And I believe that it's one of the greatest gifts that we can give in our homes, to our families, to our friends, and to our community is this spiritual leadership and discernment. So my question for you today is, where do you need discernment in your life? Where do you need discernment in your life? You may be coming here as a kid. I love having the kids here. A teenager, someone in college, a newly married. You may be dating someone and you need discernment in this time. You may have walked in here not even a Christian. And yet you still need discernment in your life. You still need God to speak to you in a new and a creative way. Some of us are facing impossible decisions. As individuals, as families, as couples, some of us realize that we as a group are facing a decision of what will come next year. Who will be our next leader in this church? And so we desperately need God's presence in the discerning process. We need Him to speak to us in an amazing way. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'd encourage you and invite you to open up to Exodus chapter 13. If you're new to the Bible, it goes Genesis, what? Come on now, it goes Genesis, Exodus, very good. So it's the second book of the Bible there. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter 13. Now, the background of this is that the Israelites have been enslaved in Egypt for many years. Moses has been chosen, called to be their leader to bring them out of bondage and exile into freedom and life. God has spoken to them. He's given them signs and wonders. He's promised deliverance for them. And I just want us to stop and realize that in this process, God is faithful. Amen? Say it with me. God is faithful. Yeah, let's say it together. Ready? God is faithful. When I look back through my life and all of the ways that God has moved, He has been faithful. He has been faithful to me and to my family. And so when we come into a situation where we're about ready to enter into the desert, we have to remember these words. God is faithful. In fact, I'm going through a situation right now that's frustrating, disappointing, ups and downs. And I have to wake up each morning and remember, God is faithful. So after a big showdown with Pharaoh, they start their exodus, and the goal is the land of milk and honey. But let's look at Exodus 13, starting in verse 17. And I'd invite you to stand, if you can, for the reading of God's Word. Verse 17, chapter 13, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road to the Philistine country, even though it was shorter and probably easier. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from where you took them in this place. Verse 20, after leaving Succoth, they camped in Etham and to the edge of the desert. Verse 21, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them. and on their way by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel day or night. Verse 22, neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of people. So the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. It's interesting that God took them on the longer path to the desert. He didn't take them on the short and the easy path. I don't know, do you ever recognize that in your life? God, can't we just take the short and easy path? And yet he seems to want to take us sometimes through the long and the difficult path through the deserts. Why does he do that? I think he wants to teach us discernment. I think he wants to give us a gift of discernment. It's a story of ongoing discernment. They had to recognize the presence of God. And that's my question for us today. Are you able to recognize the presence of God? Praise God. I love that response right away. Are you able to recognize the presence of God? I am. Praise God. Praise God. They had to learn to recognize the presence of God and then follow the presence of God wherever it took them. The cloud and the fire took them on the long route through the desert road. And there was a shorter and easier route. See, I don't know if you're taking notes. The first one is the heart of spiritual leadership is discernment. The second one is that we need to create time and space for God's presence. So that's another question for us today. Are you creating time and space for the presence of God in your life? See, the presence of God is more important than anything. The presence of God is more important than our position. The path that we take, the presence of God is more important than our comforts, more important than our expectations. The presence of God is more important than the comparisons that we make with one another. See, I want the presence of God. And that's what the Israelites wanted here. I was interested in their book here. In her book here, she says, for Moses as a leader, this involved entering into God's presence regularly and routinely. First asking God what he should do, and then leading the people in that way. See, the first step in discernment and spiritual leadership as we go into our world is to enter into God's presence regularly and routinely. And that's a challenge for all of us today. Are you creating time and space for God? Are you entering into his presence regularly and routinely? How are you doing spending time with God? Now, I'm a teacher, so I kind of get homework in here, but if I was to give you a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rank yourself? You could say it privately. Are you willing to say, God, I'm here, but I really want to be here. I want to come into your presence even more. See, Moses, as an individual, had to learn this beautiful thing, this beautiful gift called discernment, so that he could recognize and respond to the presence of God. And as he recognized and responded to the presence of God, he could lead himself and he could lead corporately. If you desire to lead in a more profound way with more people, you first have to learn how to lead yourself and to become in the presence of God yourself. And then as you learn to do that, God will bless you with an opportunity to lead corporately. He had to lead the whole group through discernment to understanding. See, when God's presence moved, they moved. And when God's presence stayed, they stayed. This comforted the people. It guided them. It shielded them. I want you to flip in your Bibles a little bit over to Exodus 33. A lot of stuff happens, blah, blah, blah. Not blah, 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 but you know, stuff happens. Exodus 33, starting in verse 9. We won't read it all right now, but look at verse, chapter 33, verse 9. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of fire would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke to Moses. Verse 10, whenever the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshiped. I believe that's another key for us today. The next element of learning discernment is recognizing His presence and worshiping His presence. Even Satan knows who God is. Yet, we as followers of Jesus need to learn to worship Him in His presence. Skip down to verse 14, chapter 33. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Boy, wouldn't that be great to take home with you today? My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Verse 15, then Moses said, "If your presence doesn't go with us, then don't send us from here." I don't want to go anywhere without the presence of God. That's where I find discernment in my life. I love this next part, verse 16. Moses says, "How will anyone know that you are pleased with me, God, and with your people, unless you go with us? What will distinguish me and your people from the others?" We get caught in comparison traps. I don't know if you do, but I get caught in comparison traps. And this is a pretty bright question. He asks, "What will distinguish me and the people of God from the world?" Good question. Look at verse 17. The Lord responds to Moses, "I will do everything that you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Show me your glory, God." See, the thing that distinguishes us between the presence of God the thing that distinguishes us as people of God is the presence of God. Let me say that again. The thing that distinguishes us as the people of God is the presence of God. He will distinguish us because of our spiritual discernment to know His presence and His will. It's kind of a simple idea in life to set the course of your life to, but it takes wisdom. It takes discernment, it takes understanding, it takes intimacy with God through worship. See, this is the heart of spiritual leadership. This is the heart of legacy. This is the heart of a heritage of faith, so that those that go behind us may find us faithful. In those days, they had literal pillars of fire, pillars of cloud, to help them. I haven't seen many recently. So how do we walk and understand the presence of God? I love reading Oswald Chambers. He says, "When we're aligned with God's presence, we trust that His Spirit within us is leading us and helping us so that our natural and normal decisions are aligned with the will of God. And so when He checks, we stop. But if not, we are in His will." I'd love for you to turn over to Acts chapter 2 now. Acts chapter 2, it's in the New Testament. We got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Just testing the kids. Kids, are you with me? Let's say it together. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's good. Acts chapter 2 describes the day of Pentecost. And instead of pillars of fire, and instead of pillars of cloud, He literally put tongues of fire over them, little pillars of God's presence. Do you see the correlation here? Fills them with the Holy Spirit, declaring the good news of Jesus, discerning the good news of the Spirit of God that goes out. I think one thing that's challenging in our culture is that we're thinkers. We're logical. We're predictors of the future. And what needs to happen is we need to move beyond just our intellect to a place of listening and surrender. See, deep listening to the Spirit of God that is now promised to be within us. The presence of God within us. The presence of God within us. See, He is within us and He is among us. The fourth thing I'd like you to see today is this takes deep listening to the Spirit and listening to the presence of God. Listening to the Spirit and listening to others as we go along this journey, because He is within us and He is within us as a group. See, spiritual discernment doesn't always just happen in a vacuum. That is why the body of Christ is so important in this process, because spiritual discernment doesn't just happen in a vacuum. If you're in Acts, look at Acts chapter 15 with me. If you have your Bibles with you or your phones or tablets or you've memorized it all, go to Acts chapter 15. It's interesting. There's this big decision before them. Certain people came down, starting in verse 1, from Judea and Antioch. They're teaching the believers, unless you're circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Wow. Verse 2, this brought Paul and Barnabas into a sharp dispute and debate. I'd kind of like to be a fly on the wall in some of these days. A sharp dispute and debate. See, part of the discerning process is being with someone else and loving them enough to have a sharp dispute and debate and work it out together. Distinguishing, understanding the Spirit of God that is in work in one person and in work in the other person. If I skip down to verse 6, it says, the apostles and elders met after considering this question. Verse 7, after much discussion. Did you catch that? It just kind of moves on, but I think we need to realize, he says, after much discussion. Much discussion can last minutes, can last hours, can last days, can last weeks, can last months, can last years. See, spiritual discernment takes time. After much discussion, I would have liked to sit around the campfire with those guys. After much discussion, because listen, spiritual discernment cannot be rushed. It cannot be rushed. We have to wait for God's timing. I kind of wonder, what does this spiritual discernment look like in this situation? It might have been when they're trying to understand, should we let the Gentiles in? Should we? I mean, you should say yes to this, because I think everyone here is a descendant of a Gentile. Should we let you in? How did they understand this? They prayed together. They argued together. They looked at examples. They disagreed. They told stories. There's this deep listening to one another. Paul and Barnabas came and told stories of conversion experiences of Gentiles. They were watching God work in amazing ways with the Gentiles. Peter telling stories about visions of sheets coming down and animals, and like, no way, I'm not killing these guys and eating them. That's not unclean for me. And then Cornelius sending some people along and saying, hey, we want to talk to you about something. It seems like God's doing something special in our midst. And so Peter and Cornelius come together, and not only are they saved and baptized, but all of their household. Come on. This is after much discussion. This is the discussion. It's Philip and the Ethiopian. He sees the guy. What are you reading? Oh, this is Isaiah. You know what it's about? Not really. Can you tell me? Sure. And then He's baptized. Should we let him in? Much discussion. James, he's studying and understanding the Old Testament scriptures. He looks in Isaiah 49:6. He says, I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So when I read a line like, after much discussion, I just have to chuckle a bit. Peter makes this statement. James stands up. It's my judgment, therefore, that we shouldn't make it difficult for Gentiles to turn to God. See, this is spiritual discernment. It comes with deep listening. It comes with spending time with God. And they sum up everything. See, spiritual leadership, spiritual discernment is a process, and it's risky, and it takes time. The fifth thing I'd see in the notes there is that spiritual leadership takes practice. Spiritual practice is like prayer, like silence, like studying God's word. We already talked about worship, intercession, confession, spiritual discussion. Barton would say in her book, spiritual leadership distinguishes by a commitment and ability to guide the discernment process for ourselves and affirm it with the family of God. Recently, in the Nazarene Church, our regional director asked all pastors and board members and superintendents and lay people to pray for spiritual discernment on where God would lead us as a church. The last thing I would note is that discernment is really the mark of spiritual maturity. Discernment is the mark of spiritual maturity because when I see the presence of God and I'm moved into the presence of God and I worship in the presence of God, then I grow in my faith and I understand that God is maturing my spirit. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve the will of God, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Test and approve. Test and discern. Test and understand what God's will is for my life. Amen? I love that. So I have a challenge for you this week. I love the kids' worship bulletin here. They got all kinds of fun stuff to color. They've been taking notes along the way. They've got church notes that they can put in prayer requests and follow along. And so kids, here's your homework assignment. Number one, some adults can take this too. Will you commit this week to prayer and listening? Will you commit to some prayer and listening this week so that you can have discernment for whatever that situation is? And then secondly, because spiritual discernment doesn't happen in a vacuum, would you find one person that you trust? Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a friend, a coworker, a parent, a mentor. Would you find one other person that you trust and just have a conversation with them this week about what you're trying to discern in your life? The Spirit of God's within you. Would you help me discern this situation that I'm going through? I believe the Spirit of God's within me. Can I help you discern a situation that you're going through? What important decisions do you need to make in your life today that you can ask the Spirit of God to give you wisdom for? That is a heritage of faith worth following. This is what you are doing in the coming days as your board walks through transition and pastor, looking at profiles for a pastor, taking time to pray, having conversations, asking for discernment, looking at the mission and vision and DNA and culture of this church, preparing surveys for you, asking for feedback. See, discernment takes time. It takes spiritual leadership. It takes people who will rely on the presence of God personally and corporately. So as you go through this time, I think it's wise of you to be praying, God, who would you have for us next? Will you lead us? We'd love a pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud, but you've given us your presence right here inside of us. Will you lead us? See, finding the right pastor is an art form that takes spiritual leadership and great discernment. And the best way that we can honor those that have gone before us, that have fought for our country, but more importantly, that have fought for our faith, is that we would honor them by walking in spiritual leadership and discernment as we pass on that faith to the next. See, the past will inform the future. I want to invite a quartet up. They're going to close us in song. And as they come up, I want to just give you what is considered a Levitical blessing out of Numbers chapter 6. Bethel Church, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen? Amen. Amen.
One of the sacred places where the flag flies most proudly is Liberty Island. It is where millions of souls yearning for freedom first laid eyes on this land of opportunity, including my own father's family who came from Italy in the early 1900s. Today, the lady with the lamp still extends a welcome.